All right, I wanted to take just a couple of thoughts this afternoon before we go to the Lord in prayer out of the 37th chapter of Psalm. Psalm 37. Thinking about our nation, our country, but thinking also in terms of the church. Psalmist says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Sometimes I think we get ourselves too worked up and too disturbed over the evil of this world. Again, not saying that we should not be concerned, and not saying that actually that it should not grieve us. Sin should always grieve us. But we shouldn't fret about it. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. The George Soroses have a tendency to just despise people like that, right? And yet, I mean, well, there's the Clintons. We know what they've done. We know what Joe Biden and his son have been up to now. We know it. It's all out there. And how many others? What's that guy, Epstein? Whatever his name was or is, I guess, well, he ain't no more, is he? But, again, it's amazing. Sometimes you think you never will be rid of them, or the world will never be rid of them, but then one day, what happens? Suddenly they're gone. They're gone, and they are no more, and they will be no more. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. The wickedness of man is not going to be eternal, is it? God is going to cast it all into that great lake of fire. And death itself will be cast into that lake of fire. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. But here, trust in the Lord and do good. No matter what the world does, God's people are to do good. I don't know, have you ever found yourself envying the riches of the rich? I suspect, at least in younger days, you probably did. And especially before the Lord saved you, but even after the Lord saved you, sometimes, you know, you see all, you think, well, Lord, what I could do with that? Mm-hmm. If I had that.
We could justify ourselves in it too. We'd do some good.
Yeah, we'd do some really do some good with it.
You wouldn't want to be on yourself.
But the riches of the rich, for the most part. Now, there are exceptions, I understand. There are exceptions. But for the most part, the riches of the rich are their curse.
Amen.
But trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You know that rainbow. Do you think about the promises of God, actually the covenant that God made with the earth in that rainbow? There shall not cease to be what? Seed time and harvest. Now, there are judgments of God, of course. Always has been, and there always will be. Yeah. Global warming. But nevertheless, the produce or the product of the field serves everybody, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Even the king.
Some get theirs and they leave some over in the corner.
Yeah, for somebody else. So delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now this is where the problem comes in. What does he mean by this? There are so many today. See, this is where the Joel Osteens come in, and all of those, I don't know, I can't even remember their names. Cephalo Dollar, or I don't know.
Kenneth Copeland,
Hagen, all of that crowd. They're saying, you know, God, they're promising people that you know, whatever they ask God for, he's going to give it to them if they ask in faith. You know, believing, you got to believe, you know, and if they don't get it, then well, you just didn't believe, and your faith was too weak or whatever. They've got that out. They've always got that out. But here's the promise. This is a promise of God. And God, can God lie? No. Delight thyself also in the Lord. But see, that's the key, isn't it? The key is that delight in the Lord. Well, it's not just doesn't mean that just delight in knowing that there is God, you know, or delighting yourself in your own imagination about who and what God is like. It means to delight in God as he is, in all of his holiness and righteousness, and in his purpose to glorify his name in Christ. Now, if you delight yourself in the Lord, in these things, then he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But what if your delight in God is such a convoluted vision that you begin to ask God for things that he doesn't delight in? Is he going to give it to you? No. He's not going to give anything to even his dearest children except that which he delights in. But if your mind is the mind of Christ, And some say, well, we can't have the mind of Christ. Yes, we do have the mind of Christ. If we're his people, we have the mind of Christ. But what was the mind of Christ? Yeah, to do the will of him that sent me, to do the will of the Father. Again, lo, it is written of me in the volume of the book. What book? Well, here it is. But what's the volume of it? Well, it's from first to last, isn't it? It's all the way through it that this is the will of God, and this is the delight of the Son of God, and this is the delight of the sons and the daughters of God, right? So commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Now again, how do you rest in the Lord? Well, you trust in him, and you rest and trust in his will. Not my will, but thine be done. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. But again, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. In our prayers, what we ask of God, we should always and only ask, again, according to his will. Now, there are some things that we don't know whether they're his will or not, right? Or maybe you're different from me. Maybe you know everything. Everything, every thought that you think is the will of God. But that's not so, is it? David desired to build God a house, but that was not God's will. There was nothing wrong with David desiring to build God a house. His intentions were honorable, but it wasn't in God's will. It wasn't right, was it? Why? Because the house of God was to be a house of peace, and David was a man of war. But nevertheless, his intentions were good. But God would not allow him to do that, again, for God's own glory and also for the good of David and those that followed after David. Now, today we're going to enter into prayer. I'm thinking specifically again about our nation and the situation that it is presenting as far as the church is concerned. Otherwise, we wouldn't be concerned about it at all, would we? I mean, are we concerned about it for the sake of the nation itself? Or are we concerned because of the relationship with the church? It's a hard thing to do in many cases to pray for God's will to be done. Because sometimes it's going to adversely affect you and the church in many ways. We still have to live in this world until the day that God takes us out of it. We still have to live in this world. And we all have our ideas, of course, about, for instance, this election coming up. Are you going to just pray that Donald Trump gets elected? Is that right? Can we pray in really in our own hearts? Can we pray, Lord, if it's your will that Joe Biden be elected, then so be it. Now, I know that sounds crazy. It would sound crazy to some. But folks, if we pray any other way, are we really praying, Thy will be done? I know it's a hard thing. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with us hoping that God will prolong the peace. But the truth of the matter is that someday, maybe sooner, maybe later, but someday the judgment of God in some form is going to fall upon this nation because it's ungodly. Now, some would say, well, but God can send revival. Yes, He can. But what's the indication that that's going to happen? Again, we hope, we can hope, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it, that God will prolong the peace. But ultimately, we are going to have to submit ourselves to the will of God. And when I say submit ourselves unto the will of God, I'm not talking about this idea of, well, Him dragging us along, kicking and screaming. I'm talking about a true submissiveness. God, if this is your will, if this is your desire, then so be it. Amen. We do live in perilous times. And guess what? When you read that, there's no indication that God is going to change those times until Christ comes back. In fact, my Bible says they're going to get worse and worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Oh, well, that couldn't be God's will. Yes, it is. It is exactly His will. Now, what we ought to be praying for, really, is for grace.
Right.
Yes, we ought to be praying to be to receive these things graciously. Not complaining against God, but to receive these things graciously. But in order to receive them graciously, what do we have to have? We have to have grace, don't we? We have to have grace. And this thing about grace, it's more than just a notion, isn't it? Grace is the power of God in His people to accept graciously His will. And knowing all the time that His will is not only to the glory of His name, but that His will is to the profit of His people. Now again, we read and we quote such scriptures as Romans 8:28, right? All things work together for good to them. Well, if they work together for our good, then why not pray for them? If the will of God, in whatever way that will is, in whatever capacity that will is, it's for the good of His people and the glory of His name, why not pray for it? May God help us to be earnest in our prayers. So let's, Father, thank You for the day. We do rejoice, Lord, in every day that passes in peace. And every day that we pass and come to the end of it in safety and free from harm and danger and having experienced plenty of everything. And we ought to be thankful for it because it is a gift from Thee. We ought to be careful to use those gifts, whatever they might be. Amen. Might be the health of our bodies. It might be finances. It might be other material things. And Lord, it may be great spiritual awakenings in our own souls and minds and hearts, and it might be peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Whatever it is, Lord, it comes from Thee, and we ought to use it to the glory, praise, and the honor of Your name. Lord, in doing so, we will be blessed. Lord, we do not give to Thee, You give to us, but we do return those gifts. And as the apostle has said, you love a cheerful giver, even though it's yours already. And Father, we we are thankful again. Yes, we are thankful that we live in a land like this. We're thankful that we have the peace, that we don't have to hide in order to worship you. We can do it in the open. We don't have to be afraid right now of someone coming and knocking our doors down, hauling us off to some prison or worse. But Lord, what if it is your will? There are multitudes of your dear children, and not children, Lord, that you have a quarrel with. They're dear children. They love you. They worship you, and they praise you, and they walk with you. And yet you subject them to things that the world thinks it's so strange. So strange to the point that they think that they're just foolish people, just foolish. And yet you are delighting in them. And you're loving them. And Lord, it's so difficult for us in our finite minds to get all of this straight. Should we pray to be persecuted? No, I don't think that's what you would have us to do, because really, first of all, Father, it's not necessary. When the truth is that as we live godly in Christ Jesus, that persecution will come naturally. Because as they hated Jesus, they will also hate us. But I do pray, O Lord, that our hearts are right with Thee, and they will be more so as time goes on. That we will be able to rejoice in that persecution, because it is your will. And because it's necessary to fulfill the purpose for which you have created this world, both the good and the evil in it. You've created the evil man for the day of your wrath. And Lord, that must also come. It has to come. This world cannot end in peace. It is going to end in great turmoil, in death and destruction. Lord, while we pray for your will to be done, even in that, at the same time, we pray, if it is your will, that we be hidden. No, we do not want to tempt you, but we do want to be lovingly resigned and submitted to whatever it is that you bring to pass. This election is coming up. Our tendency is, oh God, let President Trump win this election. And then our tendency is, if President Trump can just win this election, and if these other Republicans can win their elections, and we can get these people into the houses of Congress, then things will begin to get right. And Father, while it may tend to, yes, prolong the peace of the land, yet ultimately that will not get things right. Nothing will get right unless hearts are turned to Thee. And Lord, You're the only one that can do that. We do pray again for our loved ones. We have children, grandchildren. And we know, there's no doubt in our minds that many of them, in fact, most of the time, most of them, they do not know You. Their joy is not in You. Their love is not toward You. They certainly have no moving in their hearts and minds to say, Thy will be done, especially if it brings on hardships. But we pray for them and pray that if it is Your will, that You will save at least some of them, as the apostle thought of his own kinfolk in the flesh, the Jews. And dear Father, give us a right mind and a right heart, not to seek those things which might be contrary to Your will, but to seek those things that will promote the glory of Your name and promote the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's like the apostle said, if you be called being a servant, care not for it. But then on the other hand, if you might be made free, then do what? What are we to do with it, Father? We're to use it, rather. And so it is with our nation. If we are free, as long as we are free, may we use it to the glory of Your name. But if we should lose that freedom, can we? Is it possible to still worship and serve You? To bring honor and glory and praise to Your name in Christ? And yes, it is. It is being done now in this world. It has been done so many, many, many times over so many years. And it can and will be done again as far as all of Your people are concerned. Lord, I know these things are, sometimes they're baffling to us, and yet they're true. It doesn't really matter when it comes to the glory of Your name, whether it's peace or war, it's all the same. It is going to bring glory and honor to You through Christ Jesus, because that's what You have purposed it, predestined it, and ordained it to do. Give us a heart to just be able to say, indeed, thy will be done. And to mean it sincerely, that no matter what today may bring, what tomorrow may bring, still and all, that we'll be able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Your whole purpose for your people is to be conformed to His image. Lord, pray that. Sometimes I pray it hesitantly, because I know that what will conform us to His image is indeed the tribulation, the trials. For Lord, they will take us away from the world and the world from us. As the apostle put it, we would be crucified to the world and the world be crucified to us. Lord, we don't know how to promote these things. We don't know how to bring them past. I'm talking about being conformed to the image of Jesus. We simply have to come to Thee in prayer. We have to come to Thee longing and sighing and groaning and desiring, delighting ourselves in all things that You bring to pass. We don't know from day to day what that will be, but whatever it is, we need the grace to delight ourselves in them. That the power of the resurrection of Jesus, to the glory of Thy name, might be made manifest in us. Hear us, O God. Save us and we shall be saved. Heal us and we shall be healed. Bless us and we shall be blessed. The Lord, give us hearts to believe, to trust, and to rejoice, that whatever You bring forth in our lives, it is good to the glory of Your name in Jesus. Amen.